Okay, my name is Todd Kaneko. I'm at Nisei here, second generation Japanese American. I would say I grew up in the South Bay, primarily the Torrance area. Actually, my grandfather came,
okay.
So he was the first Issei here.
Okay.
Then my dad. And I'm actually a Sansei.
Right? Okay. All right, so your grandfather had that interest. How about your other relatives, your father?
My dad had a whole bunch of cars when he grew up, too. So his favorite was a T-Bird back in the day and a GTO. I could really vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
So, but he was, very mechanically inclined. So I kind of picked it up from him,
right.
You know, as far as the car interest. When I started getting into the cars, I started off with a Capri, actually. You know, that was my first car, and I actually bought it from my friend that kind of introduced me to the car scene. Back then, he took me to my first Nisei week, right? So
okay.
We were cruising there, and he actually raced on First Street in
okay.
front of everybody, so that just really caught my attention and
right.
kind of the love for the car culture.
Yeah.
So that's my first, experience, and it kind of led, you know, me down the path for
right.
enjoying cars. So that goes back again. I was 14. I couldn't drive, so I was a passenger with my sister's elder friends, right?
Yeah.
So my first Nisei week, again, can I name names? So my buddy Glenn Kawada had a Capri, very, very fast Capri. So he took me out on my first Nisei week cruise, and I was just astounded by how many people were there. And after the event ended, how many people just lined the streets to watch the cruise? And I thought, wow, this is really astounding.
Yeah.
And just by chance that evening, he actually raced on First Street in front of everybody. So again, being a young kid, I thought, wow, this is great, right? So that really kind of locked me into this whole subculture of cars and
yeah.
the cultural scene, right?
So when's the first time you were able to drive yourself, and was it with the Capri? Is that what you took out there?
All right. So when I was legally of age to drive,
yeah.
I actually drove the Capri. I actually bought the Capri from Glenn.
Yeah.
So that was my first car that I learned a wrench on. Learned a lot of good things. Made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But that was my first toy. So. Again, after that, you know, I got the job with Joe Hunt, and I really got the professional viewpoint or
right.
knowledge from them.
Yeah.
And really just, I think it elevated me from just the knowledge and be able to produce really fast cars and engines.
Yeah.
Some of the guys that Joe grew up with was a guy named Ed Eskandarian, who's real famous for cams. Another guy named Joe and Ronnie Shaver, who'd built really, really fast race engines. So those guys actually helped me get my knowledge based on how to build cars or build engines. But so it was that Capri and Nisei week that kind of set my destiny in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I always wanted a 510 as my first car, but I couldn't afford one, so that's why I had the Pinto. But again, I think the association to an import brand was also gaining momentum back then. Parts were becoming more available. So the whole tuning aspect was becoming a little bit easier. And back then, everybody tuned in the garage, right? So everybody actually wrenched and did their own work. You know, we worked on cars back then. But the domestic side, I mean, it had its own culture, but I think the import side was something new and fresh. So I think that's why a lot of people kind of, at least the Japanese-American, kind of trended toward the import cars. And it, again, kind of reflects back on their heritage as well.
Mm.
So again, I think from my perspective too, why I went toward the import cars were obviously they were smaller, lighter, smaller engines, but you can actually make these smaller engines and lighter cars faster than the domestics.
Mm-hmm.
So back when I used to race, I mean, there were some racetracks out here like Terminal Island or Orange County Raceway. I'd line up against, you know, big block, you know, Camaros or Chevelles and still beat them. So, and that, again, kind of shocked a lot of these domestic people.
Yeah.
You know, little small rice burner, as they may call it,
right.
can, you know, just outdo the bigger muscle cars.
You also mentioned that there was kind of a pride to it. And so I am curious because, I mean, these are car companies coming from Japan. And even if a lot of the people that were getting interested in these cars were themselves, you know, Sanseis, like, I mean, there are three generations removed from Japan. Did you feel like there was some kind of like ethnic pride that was associated with driving a Japanese car when you are of Japanese descent?
I think so. I mean, again, it makes me closer to the community that I'm part of.
Yeah.
And again, I think the technology was also a little bit more advanced than the domestics at the time, so that's something I always wanted to leverage. And again, I'm always for the small guy beating the big guy, right? So the small engine beating the big V8 engine was very, very nice at times.
What are some of the examples of the kind of technological advances that you saw coming in on these Japanese imports that were not in the American domestic scene then?
So back then, it's kind of funny. So back to the Pinot, right? So my first Pinot engine was a turbocharged 2-liter, 4-cylinder, and it made about 450 horsepower, which was probably equivalent to a good V8 back then. But the key items back then was turbocharging, right? So you're actually force feeding the engine your air and fuel to make the power. So again, technology kind of drove me to these little bit smaller engines. The next engine I did was a rotary engine, which is very unique as well. And those things, you know, easy 2-rotor, 13V, they're making, you know, 1,300 horsepower right now, you know, in the drag scene. So they're more than capable to keep up with the domestic V8 products.
Mm-hmm. Were these equally easy to work on?
If you have the right knowledge and background, it certainly is, right. And there's no magic behind that.
You know, you have been also part of the, you know, for lack of maybe a better term, like the classic, you know, Japanese car scene. Obviously, you think about things like JCCS, and the growth and interest around, I mean, the car that's like right in back of you, for mm-hmm. example. So what was it about cars specifically like the 510s and the Zs that at least were appealing then, or at the very least are appealing now for collectors who are interested? What was it about these specific models that really drew people's interest and attention?
Well, let's see. So the Z and the 510 was my initial love. Again, I couldn't afford it when I was young.
Yeah.
But today I still have a Datsun 510 and a Datsun 240Z.
Yeah.
But I think a couple things behind that. I mean, it ties back to the Japanese culture. These came from Japan, were Japanese American. But also to the potential that the cars have to make them fast, and the potential to beat the bigger domestic V8s was also key. Also to Nissan, especially Nissan, well, Honda, Toyota as well, but they have a big heritage of racing history in Japan. So they're basically already proven cars when they got here, so we knew their capability. Mm-hmm. So again, that was another drawing interest for me. Mm-hmm. But again, I think when they brought the 510 over, the Z over, same thing, they were beating all the European cars and the domestic cars. So that's one reason I fell in love with these cars.
Right. It had to do with their success on the racing scene.
Right.
Is because, if I recall.
Well, they raced in different scenes, but the yeah. biggest one for North America was the Trans Am series.
Okay.
Back in the day with the Pete Brock and John Morton.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Right. So yeah, explain the importance of Brock and his, and what did he do for the 510?
Well, Pete has a big design background history, right, with the Shelby's, etc. But he also ran the Nissan factory program for the Datsun 510 and 240Z. Mm-hmm. But again, I think he put the 510 and the 240Z, you know, he raised that or elevated that awareness greatly. And even today, I think he's still leveraging that past BRE, which was Brock Racing Enterprise, right?
Yep.
So again, that history never died, and I think it's still growing. Yeah, well,
actually had these cars back then.
Well, yeah, I mean, I finally got my 510, right?
Yeah.
And then got the Z. So really, I'm not shopping for anything right now.
Yeah. Well, tell me the story behind this car. Like, when did you get this?
So I got this. So my first car, first import would have been the 510.
Right.
This car is a funny story. So I was building the 510 at home at my parents' house. My buddy owned this car, and he bought it brand new. And he started to work on it at his mom's house, pulled the engine out, and then it sat for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and his mom said, get rid of this thing. So he asked me, hey, you want, I mean, I got a super killer deal on it. It didn't have an engine, but, you know, it was perfect shape and everything.
Right.
And I didn't need a second car to, you know, work on, but right. I couldn't pass up the deal. Yeah.
So what year did you get this?
Ooh.
Roughly.
Probably mid-80s.
Okay, so you've had this for 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way that you made it sound, you sounded like, well, I got the Z, but it made it sound like you got it like the last
time. Oh, yeah.
So
no,
you've had it.
I had another project, you know, the 510 going on, and I'm thinking, I don't need another project, but I can't pass it up, yeah.
You've never been tempted to sell it. I'm sure you've gotten offers.
I've got offers, but I haven't finished it in a sense, but yeah. It's never ending, right?
Yeah, what does finishing it even mean?
There's little things I still want to do. The pet peeve stuff, you know, tuning stuff and latest technology stuff I want to put into it.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a toy for me.
Have you changed, you know, customized much of the exterior?
Basic shape is still factory stock, yeah. I didn't go crazy with the big flares or big wings or anything like that.
Yeah, and how about the interior?
Interior is basically pretty much stock too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the engine probably not so much.
Not so much. That's my toy land, right? I like to tinker with.
Right. And you said you bought it without an engine anyway, so you had to basically build an engine for it.
Right.
Right. And so the 510 you've also had since the 80s.
That's true too, right.
And that's the one that has a rotary engine.
So yeah, turbocharged rotary, yeah.
Would you ever consider selling that?
Probably not. Again, it's still a work in process. I mean, we're trying to get it ready for a track event. So it's kind of funny. My nephew, I think you interviewed already, Billy, right? Billy Johnson. So when he was young, he's probably 16 maybe back then, I had the 510, had the rotary, and we're at the track up at Bunton Willow. So I said, hey, Billy, you want to drive this in this Time Attack, you know, event? And so he jumped in, and he was already a very talented driver back then.
Even though he wasn't old enough to have a license
yet. I think he was 16.
Yeah.
But he just finished that Formula BMW series, right? He won the scholarship to that. So he's back in the States. So he jumps in and he just tears it up and just, you know, dusts everybody, right?
Yeah.
And again, that 510 is a really old car. We were racing against the Subarus and the Evos. And half these people didn't even know what kind of car that was. They're coming, hey, what kind of car is this? You know, it's an old 72 Datsun 510.
Right.
But, you know, with his talent and that car, the way it's set up, it turned a lot of heads. It was pretty funny. So right now we're trying to resurrect it. So it's been, I don't know, 20 something years since we did it. And I told Billy, I'll get the car back together. We'll go out with the same crew and go have fun at the next Time Attack event.
Right.
So that's work in process.
Yeah, so that's why it's in the shop right now.
Yeah, we're working on it.